Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Ajahn Subharo. Thanks so much for inviting me to speak. I just did a one-day meditation retreat yesterday at the Queen's House of Retreat. About 10 people came, and Patricia, one of your community members here, attended, you know, if you want to ask her how she liked it. And I got some very positive feedback. I plan to do one in about another month if things work out. Just mentioning that. One of the themes I spoke of yesterday was that of, living a life in a way where not only do we try to bring mindfulness to what we do, which meditation strengthens, of course, but the mindfulness supports our ability to make wise decisions in our life. And I want to just dwell on decision-making, I guess, as kind of a theme. The Buddhist traditional word you'll hear the most is kamma, K-A-M-M-A, kamma, or you might have heard karma, K-A-R-M-A. That's the Sanskritized version. You might say Hinduized version of kamma. Kamma is the older way to say it in Buddhism, from my tradition, the Theravada. And it means intention. It's oftentimes translated as intention. And it doesn't sound all that profound, the word intention, but when you think of how strong of an impact comes to your life owing to the various decisions you make, it's actually a big deal, right? If you think of some of the bigger decisions you've made, what job you might have, you know, what sort of people you're going to be working with, or maybe who you might marry or who you might date, or what city you might choose to live in, or, you know, there's many big decisions, right? And a lot of resultants follow on from those decisions. And so it ends up mattering quite a bit how we make those decisions. And, something that gave me pause that I'd like to share, you know, this is something to think about later, is the word decide. It comes from, if you trace it back to the Latin word where decide came from, what it means is the D part of it. It's sort of like to kind of grab and kind of grasp. And then side means to kind of like cut off. Okay? So it's sort of like to grab and chop off. That is to decide. So the food for thought here is you have actually a lot of possible choices in front of you every day, if you think of it. There's a lot of opportunities in front of you every day. And you have no way of doing them all, you know? In fact, the vast majority of your decision opportunities are something you won't be able to do. You know, if you pick one thing, you're going to have to say no to, you know, 20 things or whatever, right? So that was your deciding, okay? You picked the one thing, you cut it off. That's the thing you decided to go with. And the other 19 things are not going to happen, right? So that's deciding. You got to pick a path through this life where most of it will remain unseen. Most of it will remain undone. But which part are you going to pick and go with? So it's something to contemplate. And so kamma becomes a big thing then, right? What's your intention? Because our decisions follow on from what we intend, right? And it can matter heavily how we set that intention. And it really behooves us then to try to bring as much wisdom as we can to that intention. and then the decisions come from there, right? Or they would follow on from there. There's a popular teaching in Buddhism, and it kind of goes like this. There is nothing more harmful than an untrained mind. And there is nothing more beneficial than a trained mind. So how well your mind has been trained, or how well you have trained your own mind, has heavy, heavy impact in Buddhism. And if you leave it untrained, you can get into all sorts of trouble with it if you use it unwisely. There's mountains of trouble that people can get into, as any counselor could tell you who deals with clients with rather serious life problems. I just mentioned that because my mom is a counselor. But the good news is, if we train our minds, we can make way better decisions and be much happier. So yeah, the meditation I teach and the mindfulness I try to teach has, you know, everything to do with that. That's kind of a cause I believe in. That's a cause that I want to make a stand for and try to support, you know? Try to get behind that. Yeah, interestingly, this word mind, when I said untrained mind and trained mind, the Pali word, like the kind of ancient word that comes from is citta, C-I-T-T-A, citta. And this word is kind of worth dwelling on for a minute, which is, you could also translate it as heart. Citta can also mean your heart. Okay, so let me restate that phrase using heart now, my little famous teaching there. There is nothing so harmful as an untrained heart. And there is nothing so beneficial as a trained heart. Isn't that cool? It gives it a different kind of tilt on that, eh? Gives it a different perspective. It's kind of fun to kind of play with that a little bit, you know, substitute heart and mind there, kind of, you know? And so then it begs the question, doesn't it? So how do we train our heart then? Oh, Ajahn Subro, tell me about the training of the heart. And to that I would say, morality is the training of the heart. So every time we, listen to that little Jiminy Cricket on our shoulder, who, you know, would be our conscience, right? And we kind of do the right thing. That was a moral decision. That's good. And our heart will be happy about that. Okay, so as we make moral decisions, you know, in a wholesome way, in a beneficial way, in a kind way, in a caring way, even a loving way, we trained our heart a little more, a little better. We will be happier. We will be more peaceful. It makes a difference. It really makes a difference how we live in the way of morality as to how well we train our heart. And every time we, don't make a wise decision, and we, whether we like it or not, our heart will feel sad about that, you know, when we don't listen to Jiminy Cricket on our shoulder there, you know? We listen to a little devil on the other shoulder. Our heart will be sad about that, whether we are tuned into that or not. And just a little earlier, when I was speaking, guiding us in the meditation on, can we feel the spots in our body? Can we get sensitive to every spot? Because, hey, why would we want to have, like, dead zones where we don't feel anything, you know? That would be weird, you know? Numb areas. Why would we want that? And I would argue that, or I would suggest that if we, time after time, make unwise decisions, you know, and morality is not something we're all that, you know, careful about, that's the kind of behavior which will lead to these numb spots. That's the kind of behavior which will bring us out of tune with ourselves, bring us out of tune with our bodies. And that's kind of, you know, a bit of a shame to kind of come out of attunement like that. It's almost like a musical instrument that, you know, think of a guitar when it's out of tune. You know, wouldn't you far prefer to listen to a guitar that is in tune? It's going to sound way better, right? So, you know, this morality thing kind of keeps us more in tune that way, in tune with our bodies, in tune with our hearts. And then, you know, we can bring more beauty into this world. And when we are in tune with our hearts more, and we're sensitive to what our heart tells us, that tremendously helps our decision-making. A lot of people, when they make decisions and they only use their brains for the decision-making, well, okay, that's better than nothing, you know? If they bring some scientific, whatever, methods to the table, you know, that's praiseworthy, sure. It's better than just making a foolish decision without thinking at all, right? But I would argue there's another tool that we would do well to bring to the table for decision-making, and that's our hearts, okay? I think that to be fully human, and if we want to be like, kind of firing on all cylinders, as it were, we should have the use of our brain and our heart too, you know? And our hearts can tell us amazingly well as to the moral dimension of a decision. Even though our brain might give us suggestions about, you know, reasons for or against something, you know, like your mind might have five reasons for something you're thinking about and three reasons against, you know, and it's kind of, should I do it or not? You know, it's pretty close. It's kind of 5-3, you know. What does my heart have to say? And if you tune into your heart and it's not numb, you can hear it. It can cut through that in a finger snap. It's like, no. It's just like, doesn't feel right. No. Oh, I'm glad I listened. Whenever you ask your heart a question like that, always listen. And you'll never go wrong. Even though your mind might have reasons why it's a good idea. The thing is, our minds can justify anything they want, really. You know, if you kind of want to get away with something a little bit, you know, not on the up and up, you will find reasons if you want to, okay? But your heart can cut through that BS and be like, no, it's not right. It doesn't feel right. So that's why it behooves us then to tune in to what our heart is saying then. And that partakes of, like I say, developing mindfulness, and it partakes of morality too. Okay, so that's, you know, that all comes together in a cohesive kind of like a system, you know? Yeah, and I saw you have a theme of creativity, and I'll just leave you, I guess, with an invitation, you know, kind of a suggestion that maybe over the next week sometime you might have a spare hour or two here or there. And instead of just filling that time with, something or other on the internet mildly interesting, which isn't really going to enrich you very much, I would suggest get a blank piece of paper and a pencil. And sit down at, the kitchen table or whatever, when you're alone and it's quiet, and right across the top, choices which are available to me, but I've never really thought much about. And use your creativity to really think. There are more choices within arm's reach of me if I just could remember what they were. If I, somebody might have suggested it briefly a week ago and then I forgot about it, or a month ago, or a year ago, or a decade ago. Can I remember? What possibilities do I never really think about? Don't really give much thought to, but they do exist. Let me just write them down, even briefly, and see if you can fill that whole page with ideas. Use your creativity. Okay? And when you're done, most of those ideas might be not so, appealing or clever or wise or anything like that. But there might be, one or two or three that are actually really good. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad I remembered that. I would have forgotten about that. I forgot about that one person I met that one time. I met that super cool person that one time. Remember, I went to that awesome event and I met that person. I forgot about them. I wanted to connect with that person. Maybe they'd be a good friend, Maybe I can connect or whatever, or whatever it is. What opportunities did you just kind of forget about, And maybe it's worth checking out. And I'm not even going to tell you what to do. You listen to your heart. If your heart leaps up with excitement at the idea, yeah, it's probably a good idea. Maybe you should check that out. Okay? All right, so I'll just leave that with you. Okay? Thank you.